I'm going to do a rant this morning. Is that okay? I'm going to do a pastoral rant. You don't know what that means, but our nation is simply falling apart. And I'm not giving up on it because it's not going to fall apart, but it looks like it is. The church in America that's been ran by man for years is crashing. But there's still hope. The Bible says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken in Hebrews chapter 13. There's a shaking going on in America. And my prayer is like the shaking will be like the people who used to pan for gold. Anybody ever pan for gold? And you shake out all the dross and you shake out the rocks and you shake out everything. And all you have left when you're done is a real gold. The Bible says the only thing that's not going to be shaken is the kingdom of God. And what I believe God wants to do is to bring into His body excellence. That He wants to perform major interventions in our life so that you and I walk in excellence. Now listen to me. That's not just going home and saying, I just want excellence. No. We have no excellence apart from God. God does the work in our lives to produce in us excellence. God's not haphazard about anything. How many understand that? How many have ever read Genesis and just looked at how God created things? If you've ever seen a perfectionist in the sense of a divine perfectionist, his name is God. He's our Father, He's the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the Holy Spirit. And so what God is doing in these days is drawing out a remnant of people who are going to manifest His excellence on the earth. He's not looking at you and say, well, now I want you to go home and become perfect. No, He's saying, I am working in you through my Holy Spirit to perform an act that is absolutely, radically going to change us into the people that He wants for His last days church. You see, Jesus said in John 13:34, and how do you put this together? In John 13:34, Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. A new commandment. That is that you love one another, and thereby people will know you're my disciples by your love. Now, how do we do that? It works very well as long as you're locked in a room by yourself. I can love everybody in that room when I'm just all by myself, but when I get with people, things change.
How come you keep looking at me?
I don't think you want to know right now. I'm just seeing if you're agreeing with me. It's that spirit of agreement I'm looking for. And so God says, hey, Dwight, I'm going to give you Kirk. And I'm going to see if this thing really works in your life. Not his life, but your life.
So you're saying I'm sent from God.
Yeah, and I'm trying to send you back. I like that. He's sent from God. But what happens... anybody's never recognized that we live in a real world. In the real world, we rub shoulders with people. And some of those shoulders are rubbed the wrong way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we live with imperfect people, and we are imperfect ourselves. And so there are issues that prop up that we're not necessarily looking for, but how do we deal with them? And how do we deal with them spiritually? So what I want to talk to you about today is God implanting with us His divine nature. And I brought the wrong Bible. I don't know if God's sending me a message or not. I got the NIV. I'm in a lot of trouble. Wow. Now I got His attention.
Sent from God.
And so God is ministering to us with a purpose of establishing in our lives His excellence, which is because of His divine nature, which is because of His sacrifice, which is because of His acceptance of us, which is because that we have been chosen by Him and we have chosen Him for us. I don't want you leaving here thinking, I can't measure up. Because when people say, I can't measure up, they don't even know what they're supposed to measure up to. You measure up to Kirk? God forbid. Measure up to me? You don't want that. And so God is not asking us to measure ourselves. God is asking us to allow Him to implant within us His very nature, His very character, His life, so that as we walk around these places, we look like Jesus on the inside. Now, don't look at yourself and say, that's not me. It wasn't any of us for a while. It's like I said last week, the body of Christ is not about us assembling as a church. The body of Christ is Him drawing people out and coming to Jesus Christ, and He's building His body, and He's strengthening His body, and He's encouraging His body. Turn with me to Romans 15. I'm not even sure if the books are in order in this one. Oh, Lord, how in the world did I do this? And God talks about our relationship with others. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. Let's look at that for a moment. Now, we who are strong ought to bear with the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for that which is good unto edifying. We who are strong. Now, I know the first thought that's going to run through your mind is that I'm not strong yet, I'm not mature yet, I'm not in that place where I can do this because I feel weak. Anybody ever think that? You that are strong, okay? How many times do you find someone going through something that you knew was a mature Christian? How many of you have been sick since you've been a mature Christian? How many of you are going to recognize you're a mature Christian? And when that sickness comes, or when that hardship comes, when that financial crisis comes, when that death in the family comes, all of a sudden you feel weak. But when someone, even though they're spiritually mature, are going through situations, I believe God's telling us as a body of believers, because of the excellence He's making within us, we need to bear with the weaknesses of even the strong. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of good catchphrases. Get over it. Why don't you just get over it? Huh? Got a problem? Get over it. Really? Okay, I've said it. Or somebody may look at you sometime when you're kind of feeling bad and say, well, just grow up. Come on. Or someone may look at you and say, well, that's not as bad as somebody else is going through. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But from the body of Christ, the Bible says, rejoice with those who are rejoicing and weep with those who are weeping. The excellence of God, the divine nature of God, God is not sitting up there smirking when you feel sick. He's not up there laughing at you and saying, hey, just grow up. Paul took seriously his thorn in the flesh. You can describe that any way you want. Paul took it very seriously in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But Paul had a word from God. And it's a little bit like we were talking about this morning. God's word to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul responded to that with, therefore I will gladly rejoice in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The body of Christ comes together when the strong supports the weak so that the weak can get stronger and support the other weak. Jesus died so that you and I could become strong and encourage the weak, encourage the unbeliever. Come to a place in this where, and let me show you this. In verse 2, each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Wow! You know, somebody could come to somebody and say, well, I told you that wouldn't work. Anybody ever said that? You goofy person, I told you that's not going to work. But that doesn't encourage anybody. The Bible says here, we just read it, we should do things to build up people. The Bible says that all things be done for edifying. That knowledge puffs people up, but love edifies. So we're building one another up to a place of excellence in Christ as we are growing in excellence. We are coming to a place where we're allowing God to work in our lives to bring change so that we can encourage others. That's the body of Christ. Why do you think, or do you? Why do you think that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, and self-control? Is that just because I need that for me? Who do I need that for? Every day with people we come in contact with. Every day you'll go through different issues. All the time. It's kind of interesting because ever since we've been home, I've had some calls to help people. Can you help me get to Fargo? Can you help me do this? Can you help me do something else? And as I've been working on that with people, I realize that God helped me in our situation so that I can help somebody else. And we go through that period of time when we are growing and maturing and developing in the excellence of God. Now understand something. God has given you everything it takes to walk in excellence. He's not looking at you and saying, hey, now shape up. He's saying, I have blessed you with spiritual fruit and spiritual gifts so that you have the character necessary to deal with the people that I bring in your path. Now, here's what happens sometimes. We look at it and say, well, I can't do it, God. And God said, I didn't ask you to do it. He says, I've given you all that you need. And when you're going through times and situations and places and hardships, remember who's with you? And can he handle it? Is it too big for him? Is it too hard for him? Does he want to get involved? Yeah. So how does God get involved? Through us. You see, not everyone, oh, here I go again. Not everyone is going to fall down in front of a horse. Kirk says, doesn't say he was knocked off the horse, so I just want to make sure he just fell down in front of the horse. Or did he have a horse? And so, not everyone is going to fall down because of an encounter with God. But there are still people who need to be lifted up. They need to feel the presence of God. Now, from my new Bible here, let me demonstrate what love is. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 13, would you? I got up this morning before Judy turned her rock music on. Mercy Me and Flawless and Chris Tomlin and His Love Ran Red. And I go to bed with that at night now. She got her music on and she's just rocking out. And I'm thinking, I went to bed to go to sleep. And so, getting up early and getting some scripture in before we got here this morning, I was looking at 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's where God's taking us to. I'll show you in a couple minutes. God is taking you to His divine love that fulfills every one of these things I just read. How many times has God been patient with us? How many times has God endured things that we've done? And we can go on and on and on, and love never gives up. Now let me reinforce that with something. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1 says this, you who are strong ought to bear with the infirmities of the weak. In other words, restoring the one who slips away. You who are strong, restore such a one who has slipped away in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So the strong bearing the weak in Romans 15, and the strong bringing back those who have slipped away, walking away, turning their back on God, been hurt, been killed by the church, been frustrated, gone through stuff, and they're asking, where is God? You restore them. It's not about condemning them. It's not about pointing out all their error. It's coming to a place where we're bringing them back. But can I tell you something? Please listen to me. Would you apply for a job as a disciple when 11 of the 12 were martyred? I'm not being sacrilegious and I'm not pointing a finger at God. It happened. We okay? How many know I'm telling the truth? God didn't do it. God didn't kill him. But he told Peter he was going to die. And so in this excellence that we go through, in this developmental stage, we have to understand the sovereignty of God and realize, because we're human, at times we go through things that's not God instituted. God didn't plan it, design it, make it. It happened. But he knew we'd go through it. Do you understand that Satan has things designed for your defeat? And that we have to be strong enough to go through them? I got first hit in the face with this stuff in 1967. December 26th. I get a call. Dwight, your mom and dad are both killed in a car accident. What do you do? I'm in Bible school. Did I have some questions? Undoubtedly. All kinds of questions. And I keep telling myself, when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to ask God is, what about mom and dad? Ah, shut up, Dwight. It ain't going to happen. First thing I do when I get to heaven, I'm going to kiss the streets of gold and say, I'm glad I made it. But good things or bad things do happen to good people. But how do we get through that? By turning on God? Yeah, God, I'm going to get even with you. I'm going to go to hell. I'll show you how mad I am. It's not the answer, folks. It's not the answer. God realizes he can trust you. And everyone sitting here has gone through something. And you come through victorious because God led you through it. You're not a weakling. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You are not victims. You're victorious. Amen. And we need to understand that. No matter what we face. Did I ever think of turning my back on God and walking away and sending a letter to the board and say, take this church and do whatever you want with it? No. You know what I did? I had a conversation with the devil. And I said, okay, Satan, you want to play games? I'm going to reach everybody I can this hospital for you, for Jesus. The more you attack my wife, the more I'm going to knock on doors and go talk to people in the hospital. I got a call from a lady in town. She wanted to know how Judy was. We never knew him before we went to Sioux Falls. Get a letter from a lady in Alexandria. Get calls wondering how Judy is. Why? Because her and I decided we're not going to pout about this thing. Yeah, there's some questions. Anybody realize John the Baptist had some questions? Are you the coming one, or are we looking for someone else? Are you the Messiah? And this message is not about me. This body of believers are going through some situations that we need to face, that we need to look at, and we're not going to be wimps. We are warriors. We're not going to buckle under. We're not going to go hide our heads in the sand. We're not going to get frustrated. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're not going to change churches. We're going to go through it with Jesus. Whether it's Dave and Mary, whether it's Sue, whether it's Judy, Marilyn has some issues. Other people had issues. We win. Yes. Come on. Yes. We win. Do we need someone to come alongside of us and encourage us and help us? Yes. We comfort those who are going through comfort because of the things we've gone through in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But we are more than conquerors. And we don't quit and we don't give up. And we are victorious. I talked to a doctor on Wednesday. Miracle after miracle. People prayed. People sent letters. People sent emails. People would walk by the room and look in and say, how's Judy in the hospital? We're praying for her. People didn't even know. We talked to a doctor on Wednesday. Went up to see Dr. T. You pronounce her name, I'll call her Dr. T. And she looked at Judy after, and she spent an hour and a half. How many of you have ever had a doctor spend an hour and a half with you? She came in, sat down, spent an hour and a half in our little cubicle and looked at Judy and said, the procedure they did to you, for you in Rapid City, I've never seen work in my whole ministry, in my whole doctrine. I've never seen it work. But it did. Why? God had another hand on that thing. So we go through times when we need to encourage one another. We need to help one another. We need to bless one another. And I'm totally lost my message, but it's okay. Told you I was going to rant. Simply for the fact that we have his nature within us. Can I tell you something? Because of Jesus Christ, no matter who walks in here, we can honor them. And no matter who walks in here, we can respect them. And it doesn't matter what they've done or where they've been, it's not about them, it's about our relationship with God, where he says, give honor and give respect and lift people up. There's enough things out there to tear people down. And so we honor people. How do we do that? Simply because the fact that God has developed us into people with his nature, with his love, and with his ability to reach out and encourage people. How many people do you know that they look at life as, I can't wait to bail out of here? And people are bailing out of here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. You may participate in his excellence and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never fall. Guarantee. You have that nature in you. You are enveloped with the presence of God. You are not just someone hanging out waiting for the rapture. You're like Reinhard Bonnke preached, we are attacking hell to populate heaven. You have the giftings. You have the presence. You have the knowledge. You are more than conquerors. You are not defeated, weak kids waiting for the Father to come and just gather you up. We are fighters. We are warriors. We are victors. We are overcomers. We are people who can face Satan head on and not flinch. Amen. And you know something? We're going to have to do it. Going to have to do it. It is absolutely amazing how God has designed his body. And every one of us has been designed to fit in a place that he's made for us. So we take hold of that. We look at that. We walk through it. How many of you ever had a bad day? Have you had a bad day, or you just had some days are better than others? I don't doubt that. We talk ourselves into despondency. We talk ourselves into despair. We talk ourselves into this is bad and this is bad and this is bad. I want us to look at things through God's eyes. And as we look at them through God's eyes, declare that the things that were once bad are now made good by the presence of God. God has designed you into his image. And if you've been beat up, if you've been talked about, if you've been torn down, if your life hasn't been, if you didn't have a family growing up, if you were in a dysfunctional family growing up, if all those things all come together upon you and you look at life and you look at it miserable, things have changed. You're no longer there. You now have a father, you have a brother, you have a Holy Spirit, you have a family that's adopted you, that chose you from among everybody in the world. God chose you. And you walk that out in the presence of God. You are no longer an outcast. You're no longer a foreigner. You're no longer someone who's ignored by God or by the world. You are a child of God. And you leave here walking that out in the victory. It doesn't matter what you've been called. God calls you beloved. It doesn't matter what they say about you. God says you're a new creation. It doesn't matter what happened. God says you are a pillar built into the holy temple of God. You have a place in this kingdom that's beyond anything you can imagine. So quit looking in the mirror and talking bad to you and start looking in the mirror and say, I have Jesus Christ in me. That's his nature. Can I tell you something else? You're not just holding on waiting for the rapture. We're aggressively participating in the kingdom of God coming to earth. Don't ever look at it and say, I'm just holding on, or let go and do something. You and every believer in this world through Jesus Christ is the only hope the world has. And I want to tell you something, even though I started out a little negative, there's hope for America. There's hope. How come? Because we're here. You missed a chance to say amen, but that's not being cocky, that's not being self-confident, that's being confident in the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Do we get beat up at times? The Apostle Paul says we get beat up. Do we feel struck down? Yeah, but we don't stay there. We get back up. We're resilient. And the bottom line, and I'm done almost, we win. We win. We win. Let's go out and demonstrate Jesus and the confidence in Christ. No matter how many shootings are happening in America, no matter what ISIS is doing, no matter what our president's not doing or doing, no matter what the candidates are saying, they're not our God. They're not our God. They're not predicting and determining our future. Jesus Christ has already designed it. Let's stand and demonstrate Jesus and his love and his compassion for this world. Stand up. Thank you.